Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it's drizzling outside, so I have to liberty to preach for as long as it takes to stop drizzling. So you guys had better start praying that it stops raining. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you there? It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." It says, "But we have the mind of Christ." This morning, I just want to continue with a message I started 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about developing a fruitful mind, and today is just part two of that message. Just for the sake of those that were not here 2 weeks ago, I shared a message which, like I said, developing a fruitful mind. I explained that your mind can make the difference between your success and your failure in life. I said that your mind can make the difference between you achieving your potential in life or living an average or mediocre life. You see, your mind is so key and critical to you, but a lot of people don't pay too much attention to what is in their mind. A lot of people don't pay attention to developing their mind to become fruitful. You see, your mind can make the difference between fruitfulness in you or you being unproductive in life. Most battles are won or lost in the mind before they are won in the real life. What do I mean by that? At every point in time, you're fighting a battle in your mind. Some of the battles you fight in your mind is, I can do this, I cannot do that. Some of the battles, I'm not good enough, am I good enough for this place? You fight so many battles in your mind, and unless you win the battle in your mind, you cannot win the battle in life. Am I speaking to you this morning? You see, the minute you begin to understand that your mind is so key and critical, you find out that a mind that becomes fruitful, that you start developing to be fruitful, the power of that mind is unlimited. It has the potential to produce abundant results when you begin to make your mind fruitful. You can train your mind to become fruitful. And a trained mind, once you begin to train your mind to be fruitful, you find out that your capacity will increase. Once you begin to train your mind, you'll increase your productivity. And 2 weeks ago, I spent time talking about the things that you need to do that will help you to train your mind. I said that you can train your mind by using meditation on the Word of God. You see, when you begin to meditate, it takes you away from just reading a story. When you begin to meditate on the Bible, on the things you read in the Bible, it's no longer a story or a history book. It now becomes inscribed in your spirit, in your mind. When you begin to meditate upon the Word, it becomes part of you. I used the example, I said, someone that has a low self-esteem, when you take the Word of God and begin to meditate on it, the part that says, he formed me from my mother's womb, he knew every part of me, you begin to understand that you have been wonderfully and fearfully made. You begin to realize that you can enter, you are as good as the person sitting next to you. Am I speaking to someone this morning? I then went on to say that the second thing you need to be able to do is to be able to think out of the box. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't even think at all, talk less of thinking out of the box. A lot of people are following the direction of the masses. And as long as you continue following the direction of the masses, you'll get what the masses are getting. Amen? And you need to begin to think outside the box. The fact that something has always been done in a certain way does not mean that you need to do it that way. Our God is a God of the impossible. When he says the impossible means that what man thinks is not possible. That means it is out of the definition of man. It is out of the constraints and the box and limitations that man has designed. Am I speaking to someone this morning? I then went on to say that the third thing you need to do is set time apart to think and strategize. So you need to find time. So many people are so busy making money that they don't make their future. A lot of people are so busy living in the present that they never live in the future. And lastly, I said you need to read books. When you read books, there are things that will take you 10 years to learn that in 10 days, if you finish the book, you'll learn it. I use the example, there's a book I read years ago that changed my life or my thinking. Rich Dad, Poor Dad by a gentleman called Robert Kiyosaki or something like that. Now, when I read that book, my thinking changed. I explained to you that when I was working as an employee and I wanted to move into self-employment and then start a business as well, what did I do? I got some books. I got books about Richard Branson, Jack Welch, and various people. I started reading them so that I can change my thinking from being an employee to an employer. And I was able to take some principles that they used in the books that worked for them and use it and applied it. What would have taken me years to learn by experience, I learned by reading a book. But a lot of people are lazy, so they don't read books. Amen? And those are four things that I shared. But this morning, I just want to conclude this message by sharing, talking more about developing a fruitful mind. But I'll be taking it from another angle, from another dimension this morning. I really wanted to conclude that part, but I felt the Holy Spirit constraining me to go along. Let me give you one that I didn't give you last time. Image. The image, you see, what is an image? An image is a mental picture that you form. When you create an image in your spirit, you conceive what that is. In the book of Genesis chapter 13, God told Abraham, he told him to go out. He said, lift up your eyes and see as far as you can see, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Why did he tell him to lift up his eyes? He wanted to create an image in his mind. You see, when God tells you something, when God gives you a word, when you receive a word from God, unless you can create an image of that thing, you can never conceive it. Am I speaking to someone? So if God has called you, or you know, or even God sends a prophet or an angel to you and tells you that I have called you to be a businessman, to be a multi-millionaire, or to be a pastor, or to have a ministry, unless you can see yourself doing that, you can never enter into it. But that's not the way I want to go this morning. I want to talk more about developing your fruitful mind. You see, your mind is like an incubator for your life. What did I say? Your mind is an incubator for your life. Ideas, thoughts are conceived in your mind. And if your mind is not right, it is difficult for your mind to be fruitful. You see, if you have a perverse mind, your life will be perverse. If you have a perverted life, mind, your mind will be perverted. Or your life, I beg your pardon. In the extreme, you know, you sometimes hear that people are out of their mind. Somebody that is out of their mind can never be fruitful in life. People that lose their mind, they lose their potential to be fruitful. Listen to me, your mind is like a soil that is waiting for a seed to be planted. In fact, your mind is the soil where the fruits, future fruits of your life is planted. So what is planted in your mind will determine what you become. What is planted in your mind, what your mind is what has determined how you are now, the kind of person you are. And the interesting thing is that I said that it's like the soil where seeds are planted for your life. The interesting thing is a seed can be carried in your mind for so long. And at the appropriate time, the fruit of the seed begins to sprout out. What do I mean by that? That is why sometimes you find people that they are vengeful. And they are able to plan revenge and plot it for a long time. What happened? The seed has been planted in their mind. And later on, they act it out. Because their mind is like the soil for that vengeance. You hear stories of people, families, and you know, that for 10 years they are vengeful. What is that? A seed was planted in the soil of their mind. Am I speaking to someone? You know, I was sharing with the workers some time ago. And I said that some parts of our body, they are unseen, they are hidden. Yet they are vital to our existence. Your mind is one of those vital areas of your life, if you don't realize that. The state of your mind will determine the state of your life. The state of your mind will determine the fruits that you produce. The seed sown in your mind will produce the fruits in your life. So you find a person with a wicked mind will produce wicked acts. Someone with a lustful mind will act out the lust. Someone with a deceitful mind will always try to lie and deceive people. In fact, let me share with you some types of minds that you want to get rid of. I'll give you 9. The first type that you don't want to have in your life is a deceitful mind. You see, you sometimes find people that they just cannot stop lying and deceiving people for no reason at all. What they have is a deceitful mind. You see, when your mind is deceitful, you begin to find ways of deceiving people, whether it profits you or it doesn't profit you. Have you met people like that? For no reason, they just tell a lie. That does not make sense. Some of them, they even know that you know they are lying. But what do they have in their mind? They have a deceitful mind. You know, if you are married to somebody that has a deceitful mind, it is dangerous. Where they are always trying to cover up things and very dangerous. Deceitful mind. Second one, because of time, a cunning mind. Crafty. You know, in the country where I come from, apologies for those that are not Nigerians, they call them 419. They are always looking for ways in which to dupe people. I remember some years ago, I had some friends. Well, acquaintances, not really friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all they are thinking about is how they would steal. Now, I don't mean physically. You know, fraud. So how they will steal from the banks, how they will get money from credit card and plant somebody's credit card and post office. Stop looking at me. Some of you have done it before. Thank God for Christ. And you're looking at me as if you don't know what I'm talking about. You just thank God that you were in court and you've repented. Cunning mind. The same mind that can be productive in good things, they used to plan crazy things. Am I speaking to someone? Number 3, quickly, lustful mind. Lustful mind. Some people, they have such a lustful mind that anytime they see a woman, or even a man, some women do, they may not act it, but in their mind, they are thinking what it will be like. Look straight ahead. Lustful mind. Listen to me, I'm sharing this so that you can identify which one is yours. You see, a lustful mind is... As a Christian, you don't want to have a lustful mind. Because it would distract you. One. Secondly, it's a matter of time when the opportunity arises. A lot of people do not carry out their lust because of the fear of getting caught. But what happens if they think they can get away with it? They do it.
Number four.
I'm on the son of David, had a lustful mind. That's why he wanted to sleep with his sister. Very lustful mind. And then he had a friend that had a cunning mind. So when both of them combined together, amen. Number four. Some people have a confused mind. What do I mean by confused mind? You know, it's one of the causes in Deuteronomy chapter 20, 28. Let me just show you quickly. Deuteronomy 20, 28. It says, not you, but this is what the Bible says. It says, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. NIV says confusion of mind. Now, that is a curse for disobedience. You know, some people have a confused mind. What do I mean by that? Sometimes when you're talking to them, they just start from something and then jump to other thing. And by the time you finish speaking, you don't. But they are confused in their mind. A confused mind. Number five, wicked mind. Ahab, you've heard of King Ahab. Ahab had a seriously wicked mind. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, Jeroboam as well, the king. Now, wicked mind. What do I mean by a wicked mind? You meet some people for no reason. They are just wicked. You know, they are just wicked. I remember years ago in secondary school, there was one senior that we had like this. When you see him coming, you run. Because for no reason, if that day he just decides, oh my goodness. Just wicked. Now, you're thinking that in church, and I guess a lot of people are thinking that, you know, that doesn't apply to us. But you find out that, how do you know sometimes that you have a wicked mind? When you want to pull someone down that has not done anything to you, that's a wicked mind, even if they did something to you. Wicked mind. Number six, anxious mind. Luke 12:29, the Bible says that we should be anxious for nothing. Deuteronomy 28:65 talks about anxious mind as well. An anxious mind, always anxious about everything. You know, I remember in the year 2000 when the millennium, they said the earth might end. They said that computers will all crash. People started panicking, buying water, doing that. And even some Christians were already following in the trend. Anxious mind. Some people, any little thing, they're anxious. And God doesn't want us to have that. Amen? Carnal mind. What's a carnal mind? Flesh. That is full of flesh. Carnality. The Bible talks about carnality in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. It says that it is enmity with a spirit minded with God. Amen? A corrupt mind, number eight. Is that eight? Corrupt mind. I'm just rushing through it. I'm sure you know what all those means. Just take your own and pray to God. Nine. Envious mind. Envy. Envy. Now, You know, when you have an envious mind, you are never content with what you have. You always want to have what the other person has. That's an envious mind. Where what God has given you, you always desire what other people have. So you see somebody singing, you want to be able to sing like them. You see the pastor preaching, you are thinking, I should be the one preaching. You see the usher standing there well-dressed and wearing a lovely suit, you are envious of their suit. You see someone that is looking pretty, you are envious of their beauty. Am I making sense? Lastly, wandering mind. A wandering mind is one that has no peace. You know, there are people that have a wandering spirit. They cannot settle down in a place. Wandering mind. When you pick up a book to read, you cannot settle down to read it. You want to read your Bible or pray. 5 minutes time, you get up. You just cannot sit down. You cannot concentrate. That's a wandering mind. Amen? However, what am I talking about? Developing the fruit, a fruitful mind. You see, I've mentioned all that because if you have those kinds of mind, you cannot develop the kind of fruitful mind, the mind of Christ, that 1 Corinthians 2:16 talks about. It says we have the mind of Christ. But when you have all those areas that I've just mentioned, those 10 minds that you have, that I mentioned, you find out that you cannot be fruitful in the things God wants you to be. Amen? And in order for us to have the type of fruit God wants us to have, we need to begin to take on the mind of Christ like we have. You see, it's interesting because 1 Corinthians chapter 2:16 says something. It says we have the mind of Christ. Now, one of the things that we need to understand that we know very well is that Jesus Christ was very fruitful when he was on the earth. He was extremely fruitful during his lifetime. Am I making sense? And when the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, that means that we ought to be as fruitful as Jesus was during his time. It means we have the potential to carry the kind of mind Jesus had. We have the potential in us already to have the kind of fruit that Jesus had during his lifetime. Now, if the Bible tells me that we have the mind of Christ, then it means that in order to emulate the mind of Christ, we need to understand the kind of mind Christ had. Amen? So that rather than the deceitful mind, the carnal mind, the envious mind, the wicked mind, we need to start thinking that what kind of mind did Jesus have so that I can start acting in that area. I can start developing myself in those areas. Am I making sense? And the first thing, the first kind of mind that Jesus had that I want to talk about is that he had a compassionate mind. Jesus was compassionate. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible says something. It says that when he saw the multitude, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, I'll read it out quickly. It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So that he had compassion for them because they seemed to be directionless. They did not know their right from the left. You see, a lot of people seated here do not have the kind of compassionate mind that Jesus had. The Bible also talks about his compassionate mind. In Matthew 14, 14, it says that when he saw the multitude, he said they had been with him for 3 days. And he said they had not eaten. So he had compassion on them, lest when they go away, they faint on the way. Another scripture in Matthew chapter 20, it talks about when he saw a blind man, he had compassion on him. Now, what does all that mean to us? Jesus had a compassionate mind. He cared for those that he came across. Am I speaking to someone? He cared for the people that he came across. Now, listen to me. Any time that Jesus, the Bible tells us that he had compassion on someone, and he acted on that compassion, or he did something, you find out that a fruit was always produced. Let me show you. In Matthew 15, 32, let's start with that one. Are you getting blessed? Matthew 15, 32. It says, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. So that he had compassion. Now, when he had compassion, what did he do? He says, when his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? And he says, how many loaves do you have? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And then he fed the 4,000 people. Anytime he was moved with compassion, a fruit came out of his life. Anytime he was moved with compassion and he did something to alleviate that compassion, he produced. Listen to me. If you have a compassionate mind, anytime you say you have compassion regarding something or someone, and you act on it, you are producing fruits. Am I speaking to someone? You see, the challenge is a lot of people are too concerned about themselves that they have no room for compassion for others. A lot of people here, listen to me. All you care about is what I will eat, what I will drink, where I will live, and what I will wear. And by the time your concern is about all those things, you don't even have time or room for anybody else. A lot of people are too selfish that they do not notice the suffering of those around them. You see, whenever you have compassion on someone and you do something about it, let me tell you what you're doing. What you're doing is you are producing some fruit in your life. And listen to this. Get this. Compassionate fruits are of eternal value. Let me tell you what I mean. We have different fruits that you produce in life. Some fruits you produce and you live on earth here. So, your goals, achievements, property, business, they are good fruits. But when you are living, you leave them here. But when you have compassion on someone and you alleviate their suffering, what happens? It is recorded on your account in heaven. That's why I said it has eternal value, because that will remain eternally. Am I speaking to someone? Or this message is too deep for a fun day? You see, the truth of the matter is that years after you die, certain things that you do will be forgotten. In fact, sometimes within a year that you die, some of the things that you think are important right now will be forgotten. But what you should be asking yourself is that what are the things that are of eternal value? You know, the 4,000 people that Jesus fed, if you ask them in heaven, they will remember. The blind man that he healed, because the Bible says he was moved with compassion. So the compassion caused him to heal the blind man. The healing of the blind man would have been recorded in heaven of eternal value. So when all your concern is about what you wear and what you achieve, which is good, yes, I'm not against that. But you need to have a you see, that's why sometimes they say that Christians do not have love. Because there's no compassion. Why am I speaking to someone? Let me, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 17, let me quickly show you. Proverbs 19, 17. The Bible says something. It says, he who has pity on the Lord, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. So it means the Lord is the one that will pay back what you gave to the poor. Listen to me. The word pity means compassion. The word pity means mercy. Now, having a compassionate mind does not mean giving to the poor alone or doing. There are ways that you can be compassionate towards people. Amen. So that's the first thing. Jesus had a compassionate mind. The second thing that he had, which caused him to produce fruit in his life, is that he had what I call a willing mind. Willing. So he was willing to do what was required by God. He was willing to fulfill his purpose on earth. Listen to me. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 39. Are you there? Matthew 26. Okay, let me read from verse 36. He said, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Verse 38. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Listen to me. He laid aside his will and was willing to do what God wanted him to do. It was at a cost. You see, you need to understand something. He endured pain and hardship in order to accomplish what he had to do on earth. It cost him something. Now get this. If you have a willing mind, then whatever God requires of you, you will do. Now it does not take an angel to come down on earth to come and tell you what God requires from you. Because a lot of it is written in the Bible. Let me remind you of one of them. One of it is that when you are not married to someone, you should not sleep with them. Another is that you should pay your tithes and offering. I'm not hearing preach it, Pastor. You don't want me to say it. I will say it. Oh, dear, dear, dear. A willing mind. Another is that you don't be a convenient Christian. You know, there are people that are convenient Christians, which means when it's convenient for them, they are Christians. And when it's not so convenient, they become a chameleon. You know chameleons? That change their color according to the environment. You know, they blending into the environment. There are some people that are like that. Let me tell you another one that the Bible says. The Bible, God says that we should serve the Lord our God with all. With all what? With all our might. With all our soul. With all our strength. What I cannot understand, if the Bible says that, is how people can be comfortable coming in on a Sunday and not wanting to find out how I can serve God in the house of God. Ouch. Listen to me. No matter what it will cost you, because some people say, I don't have a time. Listen to me. When you have a willing mind, you will lay aside every other thing to do what God says. Now, that is the written word before we even talk about the rhema. And the interesting thing is, a lot of people are waiting that God, I want to hear what you're saying, but if you have not obeyed what he has written, how will he speak to you concerning the other one? You know, Jesus had a willing mind, and his willing mind produced fruits in his life. Every time he's willingly submitted to God, something came forth from that. When he gave his life on the cross, the enemy was defeated. Am I speaking to someone? You know, in John chapter 4, verse 34, he said something. He said, my food is to finish, or is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. He said, what I eat, what I feed upon, all I think about is just to do the will of God. So he had a willing mind. In Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5, he says something. Let me quickly turn there. Let me read it out. Are you getting blessed? In Philippians 2:5, the Bible says, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Listen to this. Who being in the form of God, so he was like God, he was God himself, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He submitted himself, he made himself of no reputation. In order, he says, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of man. He came, left his God, his deity, to come down as man. Why? He was willing. You know, it's interesting because God is a patient God because he has many kinds of children. You know, although the Bible, you know, talks of sheep and things, but there are a lot of his children that are goats. You know a goat? Oh, you okay. When I was growing up, you know, during Christmas, we'll buy goats and goats, to get them to move to where you want them to go, you have to kick them, hit them, push them, pull them. Whereas a sheep will just follow willingly. God is a patient God. Because a lot of people are goats. And if we were like we human beings in those days, he will just be having you for Christmas. You don't understand. You know, we used to reserve those goats for Christmas. So Christmas time, we carry the goat and go and eat it. But because he's God, he will not have you for Christmas. He will give you another chance and push you. And pull you. And the interesting thing is, sometimes some people will almost drown. And then they come back. And they are still goats. Hey! Am I making sense? Yes, sir. A willing mind. Listen to me. Anytime you are willing to do the things God requires from you, you can be certain that fruit is being produced in your life. You know what? If you can start being willing and obedient, Even the Bible says it. It says you shall eat the fruit of the land. If you can start being willing and obedient, you shall not only eat the fruit, you shall produce fruits. You know, what I don't understand is how people can think that they know better than God. What do I mean by that? You know, in the Bible, in the Gospel, Jesus said something. He said that if our earthly father, when we ask for something, doesn't give us stones. If you're asking for bread, he won't give us stones. How will our heavenly father do that? So if you are willing and obedient, you should understand that what God wants to give you is better than what you are even asking for. Ephesians chapter 3:20 says something. It says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can imagine or think. Am I making sense? A willing mind. Somebody say a willing mind. And the interesting thing, you know what? The interesting thing is that when you have a willing mind, it will cost you. It will cost you sleep. So there may be times that God will tell you to you need to pray. It might cost you Abraham. A willing mind, he took his son Isaac. And he was willing to sacrifice, but God gave him something that he could sacrifice. Amen. We are talking about developing a fruitful mind. The third kind of mind that Jesus had, he had what I call a spiritual mind. What do I mean by that? If you look at Romans chapter 8 from verse 5, as I try to round up. Romans 8, 5. Are you there? It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But to be carnally minded is death. But this to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Do you know why? And it's all linked together. One of the reasons why people do not have a willing mind is because they have a carnal mind as opposed to a spiritual mind or being spiritually minded. Because it says that a carnal mind is enmity against God. It says it is not subject. It is not subject. Listen to me. When you have a spirit mind, when you are a spirit-minded person, you'll be concerned about the things of the Spirit. You'll be led by the Spirit and not by your flesh. You find out that Jesus was led by the Spirit. There was a time that the disciples came to him and said that, they are looking for you all over the place. He said, looking for me. I have not come for them. There was another time that his parents came looking for him. What did he say? He said, his brothers and sisters, he said, those that serve and obey God, they are my brothers and my sister. He was spirit-minded. Oh my goodness, am I speaking to someone this morning? He was spirit-minded. What does it mean to be spirit-minded? Being spirit-minded means that every action, every step of the way, you are not being led by your flesh. You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. If you don't get the leading of the Holy Spirit, you go to the Bible for direction. Because God speaks through the Bible. Oh, am I speaking to someone? Listen to me. The Bible says something in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9. It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor entered into the heart or mind of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. It then says something. It says that it is revealed to us, I'm paraphrasing, by the Spirit of God into our spirits. You see, when you want to know what God has prepared for you, you want to go into the Spirit in order to key into the Spirit of God. You know what? What you see with your eyes physically is not all there is to see in life. Let me explain. Let me explain. Let me use an analogy. A single person, man or woman, that is dating someone and wants to get married to them, and all they are seeing is the physical. When they get married, they will discover that that's not all there is to see. I'm sure married people understand what I'm saying. Don't worry, if you don't understand, it means you are not married yet. Okay, let me go a bit deeper. I've heard stories of people that are married, but who they are married to is somebody else in the spirit. You don't understand. Okay, we are in a very civilized and... Listen to me. As I'm looking at you, what I'm seeing is not the real you. But by the Spirit, I can discern the real you. But if all you do is act based on the physical that you see, then you are not spiritually minded. You are being led by your flesh, by the eyes. Listen to me. When Lot, the Bible talks about Lot. It says that when he parted from Abraham, in the book of Genesis, I believe 12 or 13 or thereabouts, or 14, 15, thereabouts. When he parted from Abraham, the Bible says something. It says that he lifted up his eyes. Abraham said, choose where you want. And he lifted up his eyes and saw that it looked good. No, that's not the scripture. Okay. And the Bible says he saw that it looked good. So he chose Sodom and Gomorrah. What he saw physically is not what Sodom and Gomorrah was really was. Oh my goodness, am I making sense? You see, a lot of you, let me go slightly deeper. A lot of you are living in this city, you know, Milton Keynes. For those that live in Buckingham and Cranfield as well, and Bedford. But let me use Milton Keynes as an example. And you're living in this city, and the city looks beautiful and pretty and well organized. But what you see on the surface in this city is not really what this city is. Oh. If you know what has been buried under this city, let me not go there. Am I making sense? You see, for you to produce fruit, you need to be spiritually minded. Bottom line, if you want to produce the kind of fruit that God wants you to produce, you know what? I was using people that are married. When you use your eyes to choose a wife or husband, you find out that the fruit you produce in that marriage... Some of you will be wicked mind. Some of you will be deceitful. Let me move on. Last point, quickly. The last point I want to share is that Jesus had an imaginative mind. What do I mean by that? It's interesting because a lot of the things Jesus taught his disciples. He taught a lot in parables. Now, he used parables to illustrate. He used parables to paint a picture. He used parables to paint a mental picture of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to me. There's something about having an imaginative mind. When you're able to begin to develop an imaginative mind, you begin to produce certain kinds of fruits. You know, I said earlier, I said that in the book of Genesis, let's look there. Let me just show you quickly. In the book of Genesis, chapter 13, verse 14. Are you there? It says, and the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And then it says, I will give your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Listen to me. The Bible says God told Abraham to lift up his eyes and look. What was God trying to do? He was trying to create a mental picture in the mind of Abraham of what he would inherit. He was creating in his image that, see, this is what you become in life. Now, sometimes I wonder why Jesus used parables. Because I think to myself, but he could just have explained it in normal, you know, straightforward English and things. But what did he want to do? He wanted to create a picture, create a story that would cause them to remember, to understand, to illustrate what he was bringing forth. Now, you need to get this. Can I have that magazine? Man, I'm sure that before this magazine came to fruition, it was created in your mind. She would have had a mental picture of the kind of magazine she wants to produce or publish. She would have had a mental picture of the kind of magazine and the audience, target audience, the markets where it should go to. She would have the mental picture of the contents, the sort of content she wanted to have in the magazine. Am I making sense? And by having the mental picture, the imaginative picture, the image, she was able to bring forth. You see, when you don't have an image in your mind, when you don't have an imaginative mind, what happens? You are not able to produce. You don't even know whether the fruit you are producing according to what you have seen or not. You see, there's something about having an image. Get this. Let me just clarify this. Because I'm not just talking about any image. When God speaks to you, so when God told us to come and start a church, I had an image of what the church would be like. I had an image of the kind of people that would come to the church. I had an image of what the services would be like. I created that image in my mind based on the words God has spoken to me. You see, when you don't have an imaginative mind, what happens is that your potential to produce fruit, you just produce anything and accept anything that comes forth. Listen to me. There are certain flyers or certain things that we do in the church that I have an image of how I think or want it to look like. And when it is designed and it does not match the image I see, I don't accept it. When you don't have an image of what your life is about, you accept anything that comes your way. You know, for single people, when you don't have an image of the kind of spouse that God wants you to marry, that you want to marry, any Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes will be acceptable to you. One of the minds that Jesus had, he had an imaginative mind. He created an image in the eyes of people. At various times, he'll say, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like... So by creating the image, he was creating a picture. And you see, before he could have created a picture, he would have had a picture himself in his mind. Let me take a bit deeper. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Think of the promises of God concerning your life. Things that he has told you specifically, or if he has not told you specifically, think of some things in the Bible that you want to lay claim on. And begin to create an image in your mind. Think of some of the prophecies that maybe have spoken concerning your life. And create an image of it in your mind. Now, open your eyes. Now, you find out that once you begin to create an image and you develop your mind in that area, whereby you constantly create an image, when that thing or the time or season for that thing comes, you already know because you have seen it. Oh my goodness, am I speaking to someone? You know about it because you've seen it. It's not the first time you have seen it. You've seen it already. And that is the way to produce fruit, to develop your mind to produce fruit. I'm not talking about just creating an image of anything. I'm talking about things that God has spoken concerning your life, or prophecies or promises. Unless you begin to develop yourself in those areas, it will be difficult for your mind to be fruitful. Can we rise up to our feet?